ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ श्रीपरमात्मने नमः मूकम् करोति वाचालम् पङ्गुम् लङ्घयते गिरिम् यत्कृपातमहम् वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् यम् ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुण्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यम् सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यम् योगिनो यस्यान्तम् न विदुःसुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः ॐ श्रीपरमात्मने नमः ॐ अथ षष्टोऽध्यायः ध्यानयोगो नाम षष्टोऽध्यायः श्रीभगवानुवाच अनाश्रितः कर्मफलम् कार्यम् कर्म करोति यः ससन्न्यासी च योगी च न निरग्निर्न चाक्रियः यम् सन्न्यासमिति प्राहुः योगम् तम् विद्धि पाण्डव न ह्यसन्न्यस्तसङ्कल्पो योगी भवति कश्चन आरुरुक्षोर्मुनेर्योगम् कर्मकारणमुच्यते योगारूढस्य तस्यैव शमः कारणमुच्यते यदा हिनेन्द्रियार्थेषु न कर्मस्वनुषज्जते सर्वसङ्कल्पसन्न्यासी योगारूढस्तदोच्यते भगवान् कृष्ण इन् दि सिक्स्थ् चाप्टर् बिगिन्स् हिस् टीचिङ्ग् इण्ट्रड्यूसिङ्ग् दि इम्पार्टेन्स् आफ् लिविङ्ग् अ लैफ् आफ् कर्मयोग बै प्रसेण्टिङ्ग् दि ग्लोरि आफ् कर्मयोगी बिकास् The meditation, especially the contemplation, the Vedantic meditation, otherwise called Nididhyasanam, contemplation, or even the Saguna Brahma Upasanam, any Manasam Karma, Manasavyaparaha, whether it is meditation to be practiced before the knowledge, before the attainment of knowledge, as a preparatory discipline in order to make the restless, agitated mind a calm mind. Even if one has to practice meditation, the upasanam, or even to do contemplation, to dwell upon the nature of reality, after having understood the nature of reality through the Shastra study, for any of this manasam karma, mind must be prepared. Because whether it is nidhyasanam or it is saguna brahma upasanam, both being manasam karma, manasa vyaparaha, it is the mind which needs to be qualified. And the mental qualification required for nididhyasanam, without which ascertained vision of the truth is not possible, without which moksha is not possible. Therefore, for this qualification, for the antahkarna shuddhihi, antahkarna naischalyam, mental steadiness, mental purity, or emotional stability or intellectual sharpness, definitely one has to live a life of karma yoga. So Shastram prescribes the qualifications required for jnanam. One can do shravanam with the help of the teacher. One can listen to the Shastra teaching from the teacher and attain the knowledge. One can even resolve one's doubts, by mananam. But afterwards, to make that vision an unforgettable, ascertained vision, if a person has to dwell upon, then the person's mind must be definitely available. The total focused attention of the mind must be available for contemplation without any disturbance. Such a mind which is available for contemplation is said to be relatively pure and relatively steady mind. That relatively pure and steady mind is possible only if a person has these important qualifications called vairagyam, dispassion. That vairagyam alone is here Krishna mentions in this word as the one who has vairagyam, the total one who has dispassion, adequate dispassion. The total dispassion is possible only in jnanam. Absolute dispassion is possible only in the wake of the knowledge of the truth as one's own self. Because in the wake of the knowledge of the self, when a person resolves one's wrong identity, when one person corrects the error in one's perception of oneself, then the person recognizes oneself being already a limitless, identical with a limitless reality. Then in the wake of the vision, the person definitely enjoys the luxury of reveling in fullness, which is Jivan Muktihi. The Jivan Muktaha, the wise person, a jnani, who has the luxury of reveling in fullness, naturally is free from sense of inadequacy, sense of smallness centered on I. Therefore, naturally that person is free from all the needs. The needs are not there. The person, the passion or desire or attachment is possible only if there is sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy centered on I. This jnani being free from this fundamental human problem of sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy centered on I, he is free from needs, he is free from the hold of passion. That is why in jnanam we say the person is said to have absolute dispassion. A wise person is absolutely dispassionate person. Why he has no passion? Because he is reveling in fullness. Fullness and passion cannot go together. Where there is fullness, there cannot be passion, there cannot be desires, there cannot be. Therefore, absolute, that's why Bhagavan is the only dispassionate person. That's why we say, we understand the meaning of the word Bhagavan, which is one of the sixfold measures. The word Bhaga means, you know, Jnanam, Shrihi, Yashas, Viryam, Vairagyam, Aishwaryam. There the word Vairagya means total dispassion. Bhagavan being everything, Bhagavan being, you know, the one who is endowed with all knowledge, all wealth, all fame, all strength, naturally there can't be any passion for anything because there is no lacking on the part of Bhagavan Ishvara. That is why we say total dispassion means when you do not lack anything, there cannot be passion. Therefore, in the vision of the truth, in the wake of the knowledge of the truth, when there is wisdom, where there is wisdom, there is total, absolute dispassion. But here, the person who needs to contemplate upon the Swarupa of the truth, in order to ascertain the vision of the truth, if the mind has to be available for contemplation, definitely mind must be undisturbed. And the mind will be undisturbed only if there is dispassion, adequate dispassion, which means that one must be relatively dispassionate. Because the one who wants to contemplate, one who wants to attain jnanam, ajignasuhu, mumukshuhu, definitely has to discover dispassion, which means his passion is only for jnanam, only for mokshaha. All other things, arthakamas, he wants only for living this life. But actually his priority is for jnanam, his passion is only for jnanam. Therefore, he has no passion for other things. The passion for other things is not there because he has grown out of desire for other things, knowing their limitations that they cannot give him what he wants. It's typically like how when we were children, we had passion for so many things, desire for so many things. We used to enjoy so many things. Because whatever things we were playing with, we were eating, we had the pleasure of enjoying things. And we always had passion for those things, desire for those things. And as grown-up people, those things which were our objects of desire and passion, now they do not interest anymore. We have grown out of desire for those objects. We wanted them, we had them, we enjoyed them, we had the pleasure of having them, and we have grown out of desire for them. Which means we have understood what we want now is different. And they cannot give us what we want now, therefore we're not interested in them anymore. We don't have any hatred for all those old things which once upon a time we were enjoying. We have no hatred, but we are not interested in them anymore. Because they do not really cater to my present needs. Simple thing. If things cannot give me what I want, then I am not interested in that. Simple thing. Similarly, I want artha, I want food, I want shelter, I need to fulfill my biological needs, I need to appease my hunger, I need to quench my thirst, I need to live in a comfortable place, of course, I need a shelter, I need clothing, no doubt about it. So, I don't overvalue of these things. So I need all of them for living this life, but definitely arthakamas will not give me everything I want. They will not give me really what I absolutely, ultimately want. Therefore, there is no, when without depending upon arthakamas for happiness and fullness, knowing the limitations, And if having passion for knowledge, if a person lives a life karma yoga, naturally he is a dispassionate person. The dispassion towards other things, he has discovered dispassion. Dispassion is something one cannot push dispassion on somebody. It cannot be imposed upon somebody. Dispassion is actually something very beautiful. It implies the person's maturity. The more and more we grow, the more we understand, and the more we understand the limitations of the worldly things, that they cannot give us what we want in life, naturally we grow out of desire for them. Not because others tell me I don't want that. Rather, I don't want that. I don't need that. When you say I don't want that, that is different from I don't need that. I don't need because I have grown out of that. That's called vairagyam here. And that vairagyam is a very important qualification for the mind not to be disturbed, for the mind to be available for contemplation. And Krishna first said samatvam also, isn't it? The samatvam, sameness of mind, as the first qualification, which one can have only by living a life of karma yoga. That is why samatvam is the qualification required for meditation. And the samatvam, the sameness of mind, mental equipoise, in order to be the capacity to remain balanced in all situations, you know, without being afflicted by, troubled by other emotions which naturally rise in our minds. For that samatvam, one has to live a life of karma yoga. Therefore, karma yoga lifestyle is for earning this qualification in terms of samatvam, mental equipoise. Similarly, living a life karma yoga is also for what? Discovering dispassion. Even for one to, you know, have the dispassion, also living a life karma yoga helps. That's why he says, in fact, a karma yogi, when does a person become a karma yogi? Krishna said in the last verse, asanyasta sankalpaha yogi na bhavati. That sanyasta sankalpaha implies the one who has grown out of craving for any worldly pleasures. Not because he hates the pleasures, not because he does not want the pleasures. He has grown out of desire for pleasures, knowing that the enjoyment of these pleasures will not give me what I want in life. It's understanding. That's why this dispassion is something born of understanding of limitations, of what things can give me, what they cannot give me. So, his asanyasta sankalpaha yogi na bhavati. Sanyasta sankalpaha eva yogi bhavati. So, sanyastaha sankalpaha yena, the one by whom sankalpa has been renounced. Which means, the one by whom what has been renounced, the craving has been renounced. So, not only the craving for worldly pleasures has been given up here, but the craving has gone from him. Not only that, also, because the craving for the worldly things is not there, he is not given to the thought of any of these fruits of actions also. So he knows very clearly, whatever action I do, and that action can produce any phalam, any fruit of any action will be what? Definitely must be within the realm of artha and kama. So artha kamas are time-bound results, relative ends. I need them to live this life, but I am not living this life for artha kamas. This understanding being there, he has no concern for the fruits of actions, which means, for them, the fruits of actions is not dependent on them as their ultimate goal. Such a person here is a sanyasta sankalpaha, is a karma yogi. If a person has not yet discovered dispassion, then we cannot call him a karma yogi. isn't it? Even, imagine, even a sannyasi is supposed to be a dispassionate person. And the Shastram says, even a karma yogi, one can claim oneself to be a karma yogi only if a person has discovered at least relative dispassion. In spite of being a grihastha, in spite of being a householder, in spite of having the family, children, wife, you know, in spite of involving himself in all the worldly transactions, in spite of doing all the karmas, Vaidikam karmani, now Vaidika karma, in spite of doing all these Vedic rituals, in spite of doing all these mundane activities, still he is a dispassionate person. What does it mean? He does everything. Dispassionate means he is detached person. Detached person means, what is detachment here? Detachment means not physically dissociating oneself from objects. Physical dissociation of oneself from objects is not detachment. No, turning one's senses away from sense objects also is not a detachment. Without turning one's sense physically away from sense objects, without dissociating oneself, you know, from the objects also, mentally one has to dissociate oneself from objects. So mentally dissociating oneself means what? Not thinking of them. See, you can dissociate yourself from mental dissociation of oneself from objects implies not giving value, not having value for objects. Not having value means not belittling or not looking down upon, not degrading, not humiliating here. Not valuing means knowing their limitations, that they are not capable of giving me what I want. My absolute choiceless end is moksha. All that I want for moksha is jnanam. And for that jnanam, you know, Shastram is the only pramanam. And for the Shastra study, you know, I study the Shastram as it has to be studied with the help of the teacher. But still, I need to qualify myself for this jnanam, and for that qualification, to be qualified for jnanam, you know, I have to live this way of life. Therefore, and nothing else can give me. If this understanding is there, naturally the person will not be dependent on other objects, worldly things or arthakamas. So not being dependent on worldly things or objects, people, situations for one's happiness or security is detachment. You can be with objects, but don't be dependent on objects for your happiness and security, because they are incapable of giving you happiness and security. This is what understanding the nature of the objects, understanding their limitations, what they can give, what they cannot give. The understanding is there, you are a mature person. So understanding of this fact makes you a mature person, that you, knowing the limitations, when you are not depend upon those objects for your happiness and security, then you are detached person, you are dispassionate person. A karma yogi, as a mumukshu, as a jignasu, as the one who is committed to the accomplished pursuit of moksha, as the one who is committed to the pursuit of knowledge, as a spiritual person, knowing the value of values, living a life of dharma as an ethical person, and all the time, because of seeking Bhagawan's grace for the strength to be able to live a life of dharma, and is being a religious person, and he has, for him, nothing in the world He is not dependent on anything in the world for his security and happiness. Therefore, he is a sankalpa sannyasi, sannyasta sankalpaha. Why he is called a sannyasta sankalpaha? I'm just saying, if he has not yet renounced the sankalpa, he still has craving for things, means he can understand he is not a karma yogi. Krishna is very strict here. There is no way of getting yourself qualified for knowledge, because now ascertained vision requires the prerequisite thing for jnanam is contemplation. And for contemplation, you need, the mind, pure and steady mind. And for that mind is possible only if there's dispassion. The dispassion you need to understand, isn't it? Only then you can be a karma yogi. Otherwise, you can't claim yourself a karma yogi. Only when you live a life karma yoga, as a dispassionate person, when you live a life karma yoga, then here Shastra says, in due course of time, you really develop this what? This samatva buddhihi. Samatva buddhihi. You get this, the capacity to remain the same in all situations. Okay, that he said. Now we are entering into the new lesson. The sannyasta sankalpaha, a karma yogi, later on becomes what? Sarva sankalpa sannyasi. By living a life of karma yoga as a dispassionate person, when he has this mental equipoise, then he becomes qualified for knowledge. He is said to be yoga rudha. Yoga rudha is the one who is qualified for contemplative life. In fact, one who is endowed with the contemplative disposition of the mind. Yoga rudha. Now Krishna continues here. Uddharedatmanatmanam natmanam avasadayet atmai vahyatmano bandhuh. Atmaiva hyatmano bandhuh, atmaiva ripuratmanah, atmaiva ripuratmanah, uddharedatmanatmanam, natmanam avasadayet, atmaiva hyatmano bandhuh, atmaiva hyatmano bandhuh, atmaiva ripuratmanah, atmaiva ripuratmanah. Here Krishna says, atmanam uddharet, atmanam uddharet. Atmanam uddharet, atmana. Literally, it means may one uplift oneself by oneself. It's a literal meaning. So what he tells is, one has to have one's own initiative. One has to make one's own effort first. When we want to accomplish something, what do? We always think, I need help from others to accomplish things. We all want to accomplish our ends. We have many ends. As a Purusharth, the person of Purusharth is Chayaha. Even though ends are there, then you can say, I have only end in my life. The mature person, the mature human being, who is definite about the purpose of living this life, ultimate purpose of living this human life is to discover the moksha, the happiness, the fullness which is already there. Because then he also knows the moksha is a choiceless end. Therefore, discovery of moksha implies discovery of the reality. And discovery of the reality implies discovery of one's own self, the discovery of the reality of the whole as one's own truth. And the discovery of the truth, is dependent on actually the mental disposition of the mind. Therefore, the mental qualification, the mental well-being is so important, because it is the mind using which alone one has to, accomplish the ultimate end. Therefore, here he says, one has to, should I take help from others? Should I take the help from my teacher? Or should I take the help from Bhagavan? I need Bhagavan's grace. I need the teacher's support in terms of teaching. I need others' help. Or Shastram, I need the help from Shastram. But here, Krishna says, the Shastram's help, or Guru's help, even Bhagavan's grace becomes secondary. What is required is one's own effort first. One's effort is very important. One's effort is important means what? First of all, that one should discover confidence in oneself. And confidence in oneself means here what? Actually, one has to make use of one's free will. Free will. How can one make one's effort? What do we mean by one's making efforts? One's own self. Oneself making efforts means what? One has to make efforts to accomplish something means one has to make use of one's free will. Free will has to be used. And this is where the question comes. Isn't everything determined by destiny here? All that we go through here, are they predetermined or not? It means whatever I do, my future, which is ahead of me, which is there, my future is determined by, already determined by my destiny, my vidhi, my fate. It's all my fate. My future life is already predetermined by my fate, my destiny. To some extent it is correct, but we have to remember here, it's not the destiny, fate, which alone determines our future. If we say fate alone determines my future, there are people who say fate alone determines my future. And they are fatalists. So they can put the blame on the fate. So they can say, whatever I do, what is going to happen has already been determined by my own fate. Anyway, I cannot change it. Therefore, let me not make any efforts. Let me just live doing what is possible, which means I don't need to take any initiative. I don't need to make any efforts. Even if I make efforts, all waste. Why? Fate determines my future. I cannot change them. Fate determines. And such people are fatalists. Actually, Vedanta, even though talks about the fate, Vedanta does talk about the fate, but Vedanta does not say fate alone determines one's future. Very important thing. Which means, what else is there? What else determines? What else, you know, is there to determine my future apart from fate? Yes, fate does determine your future, but fate alone does not determine your future. There is something called free will. Again, the question might come, does free will alone determine my future? No, Vedanta does not say that also. Free will alone cannot determine your future. Fate alone does not determine your future. In fact, fate and free will together determine one's future. Which means, free will also has, free will also plays a role in contributing for future. But to have belief, to faith in free will, and to make use of it, one should have some punyam. Which means, if we have punyam, then definitely we have shraddha in shastram. It is not possible for us to have shraddha in shastram if we do not have some punyam. Some punyam, which is our, again, vidhi, that is parabdha, that is vidhi, destiny. Because of some punya prarabdha palam, because of some punyam, we have faith in the shraddha in shastram. And once we have shraddha in shastram, and our shastra based faith, our thinking will be based on shastra's teaching. So when our thinking is based on shastra's teaching, because our faith in shastram, then it is possible for us to accept both fate and free will. In fact, the faith in free will itself is based on the shastra. Therefore, those who have some punyam, because of their punyam, they are able to accept shastram. They have faith in shastram. Because of the shraddha in shastram and shraddha based thinking, the orientation one has from shastram helps them accept the free will. Vedanta shastram accepts both fate and free will. Therefore, fate and free will really determine our future. Okay, if fate and free will, fate or destiny, in Tamil we say vidhihi matihi. Matihi is free will. What is fate? The result of the past karma. The fate is something determined by the result of my past karma. And that is called what? Prarabdham karma phalam. And it is twofold, punyam and papam. So punya prarabdham, papa prarabdham, no, which is the fate determined by the result of action of the past. Whereas what is free will here? A free will is the knowledge of right and wrong, which every human being is naturally blessed with, and which serves as the capacity to choose to do a given action. The capacity to choose to do a given action. The course of action determined by we choose to do, determined by our thinking, is free will. Isn't it? So, if both are involved in determining my future, means which of the two is powerful? Is fate powerful, more powerful, or is free will more powerful? Which has more strength? Which is stronger than the which? If you ask, it's a very difficult question. Why? Because definitely we cannot really give an answer. It is typically like, Swamiji gives this example always. If a patient goes to the doctor with some physical problem, and doctor, you know, and he will ask him, is it possible for me to be cured? Can I be cured of this disease? The doctor, very difficult for the doctor to say anything definitely. The doctor cannot say, yes, of course, we can cure your disease. He will not say. Nor can he say, no, it is not possible for me to cure your disease. First thing what he'll say, we have to diagnose your problem. After diagnosis, and he can say, first of all, he has to find out whether the disease is curable or incurable, or without getting cured, manageable. Three types. Immediately, easily curable. All of them need curing, okay? All of them cause discomfort. No disease is comforting, isn't it? That's why we don't want to get rid of. Disease itself means what? Disturbs the easiness of the person. That's why it's called a disease. The physical illness, you know. So we say the curable, incurable, and then manageable disease. Suppose you simply cough or fever, and he can say what? Okay, when he diagnoses, he finds out only simple cough and cold, can give some medicine, and he will say it is curable. But still, 1 week of one course of antibiotics, it is curable after one course of antibiotics. HDL, LDL, high cholesterol, diabetes, no way of reducing your cholesterol, how much ever exercises we do, even though very carefully you take care of your dieting also, still because your own liver produces the cholesterol, there's no way of completely, you know, bringing the cholesterol down in your blood. Therefore, the only thing is statin. Statin will not cure that problem of having excess of cholesterol. It can only help you manage your disease. Isn't it? Similarly, insulin helps you manage your disease of diabetes. With diet control, some medicines, they do not cure, remove the problem, they help you manage. There are some other problems. Isn't it? Then, when the diagnosis, after scanning, after biopsy results, doctor has to be, he can't say, he may say some nice words, but still incurable. Why? What is the nature of the illness? Isn't it? Similarly, here also, this, our destiny and free will, when destiny and free will really operate and they come close, then what happens? Always the operation, it won't be the same, isn't it? Our situations, what we go through in our life, are not the same always. We don't face only one given type of prarabdha. What we go through, of course, what we go through in our life are determined, predetermined by prarabdha karma. But they are not the same. They vary. The strength of the free will, the strength of the destiny, the strength of free will and the strength of fate, relatively vary. I tell you how. The parabdham, we have three types of parabdha karma. Three types of parabdha karma means what? Three, we have gradation of parabdha. Like how in illness we have, curable, incurable, manageable illness. Here also we have, the parabdha karma palam also. Prabala prarabdham, something called prabala prarabdham means very, very powerful prarabdha karma palam. Definitely, the prarabdha karma palam, the intensity of your fate is dependent on the intensity of the karma palam. The intensity of karma palam is dependent on the intensity of the karma. Isn't it? Intensity of your past karma determines the intensity of karma palam. The intensity of karma palam determines the intensity of prarabdha. Therefore, here we have three types of prarabdham. Three types means what? It's a gradation is there. Prabala prarabdham means a very strong, highly powerful prarabdham palam. Then we have madhyama prarabdham. Then we have abala prarabdham or durbala prarabdham. It can be punyam or papam. We have punyam or papam, prabalam. Punyam or papam, madhyamam. Punyam or papam, durbalam or abalam. So this, now why this difference here? Because this is destiny, vidhi, isn't it? So this fate, we call it prarabdham. What they say vidhi. No, our vidhi is actually prarabdham. There we say fate or destiny. So this intensity of vidhi, intensity of prarabdha karma phalam in terms of strong prarabdham, prabala prarabdham or madhyama prarabdham or abala prarabdham or durbala prarabdham, that is who determines. What determines that prabalam or madhyamam or durbalam? that strength of the prarabdham. Strong, isn't it? Weak or less strong, is it? So that is determined by the intensity of karma phalam. The intensity of karma phalam is determined by the intensity of karma. So when we go through this, so here we understand this, the prabalam prarabdha phalam, prabala prarabdha phalam, being very strong, free will cannot help. Free will is helpless in facing, in tackling, in handling this prabala prarabdham. Free will cannot do anything. Like even though the oncologist with all his all 10 degrees from different universities, he knows all about the disease, and then but still he cannot help, isn't it? Which means what I want to say, the prabala prarabdham, I'm only example I'm giving, prabala prarabdham means free will cannot do anything. Then what can free will do when we are going through this prabala prarabdham? What can the free will do? All that one can do with one's free will is quietly pray. The free will can be used. One can choose to do the act of praying. Nothing else can be done. Act of praying. The free will can choose. What one can choose to the act of praying. The free will can be used what? For praying. Praying. One can pray for the strength, the capacity to face the situation. Why? Because the external world of objects, the situations, people, their behavior, other things. No, behave. People means what? Not outsiders. One's own family members, outsiders, or any associates, people, any people of any sort of acquaintance, situations, they're all of them, in fact, not only the natural calamities, even ordinary day-to-day life also, people's behavior, everything is completely what? Unpredictable. They can change. And then even if we are, even if there's something predictable also, unchangeable, uncontrollable. Isn't it? Therefore here, the best thing we can do is what? Even such situations, when strong, prabala prarabdham we have to, when you're going through, our free will can be used only to quietly, intensely, fervently pray for help, pray for the strength to be able to face the situations. So, okay, that free will can get us what? Help us prepare ourselves. It is better to be prepared to face the situation, isn't it? When natural calamities are, actually, the weather forecast, the people who are working for weather forecast and all that, when they discover the natural calamity which are going to happen later on, sometimes they cannot even predict. And even if they're predictable, also because of the scientific advancement, they can even, the forecast, isn't it? They can find out it's going to happen. They're predictable, but still they're uncontrollable. What else can the astronomers, the scientists, what can they do? all that they can do is they can help us to be prepared. So we can be ready to face whatever situations are going to come. Like that, here also free will can help us to pray, to have the strength to face. Then, suppose the prarabdham is not prabalam, but madhyama prarabdham. Suppose what comes in our lives, you know, situations. This madhyama prarabdham means what? It is not very strong. But the madhyama prarabdham is something the free will, with, you know, using one's free will, we cannot stop definitely what's going to come. But still one does not need to allow that to afflict one also. So without allowing it to cause any problems, without trying to prevent it, because it is not preventable, but still you can safeguard yourself, means you can manage. So what a free will can be used, isn't it? You can manage. So madhyama prarabdham, karma phalam, can be managed, manageable prarabdha. Isn't it? The free will, the strength of the free will is such that you can manage without preventing it, undoing it, eliminating it, and without allowing it to affect you, you manage that. Then there is a third type of, now the third grade of prarabdha we have. This durbala prarabdham or abala prarabdham, the weak. The prarabdham is weak, means what can the free will do? In fact, the free will can really try to eliminate, avoid, change the prarabdham in terms of doing some parihara puja. We call prayaschitta karma. Prayaschitta karma itself means what? No, some parihara. No? Sometimes we use something, do something, prayaschittam, to alter the ill effects of the prarabdha. So it's alterable. Only the prarabdha, no, is a weak prarabdha. Therefore, it is not that fate alone determines your future. Free will also is, you know, involved in determining your future. Which means Krishna here in this verse, particular very important verse, he really tells, as for accomplishing any end, whether it is artha kama to live this life, whether dharma in order to, you know, prepare one's, really one's mind for ultimate end, or even to accomplish, definitely to accomplish the ultimate end in terms of knowledge also, for accomplishing any goal, any end, definitely one must first have one's own effort. Therefore, next in this Bahiranga Sadhanam, what he presents here is one's own self-effort in terms of using one's free will is also Bahiranga Sadhanam. self-effort, you know, using one's free will. Here, if we take animals, what about animals? Animals have no free will. The capacity to choose to do a given action, the free will, animals are not blessed with the free will. They do not have faculty of choice. Therefore, there is no knowledge of right and wrong for the animals. What is right, what is wrong, knowledge is not there. And they are programmed to do certain, things to live their lives, animal lives. Therefore, animals have no right and wrong. Knowledge of right and wrong is not there. Therefore, animals do not attract any punyam or papam. Animals are no punyam or papam. Therefore, they don't have the problem of, you know, going through the emotional problems or paradham, bondage. Nothing is there for animals. Only for the human beings, isn't it? Therefore, human being alone is blessed with this free will. Therefore, he has to make use of this free will. In fact, some other context, Krishna says, the one who does not make use of this free will, one's knowledge of right and wrong, one is blessed with, he is a miser, a buddhi. He says, so one has to make one's own effort first. So how should that effort be? For accomplishing any end, you as an individual are blessed with all the equipments, instruments you require to fulfill any of your ends, to accomplish any of your ends. Whether artha or kama or dharma or moksha, what are the equipments you are blessed with? First of all, you are blessed with the physical body. Isn't it? Physical body, you are blessed with the physical body. And you have your powers of knowledge, organs of knowledge, you have organs of actions, pancha karma indriyani, jnana indriyani. You are blessed with intellect. You are blessed with the mind. So mind is given to you. Intellect is given to you. The powers are all given to you. Body is given to you. So instruments of enjoyment and abode of enjoyment, they're all given to you. And you are asked to live there. You are there. And only using this, you have to accomplish anything. It is like a driver comes, there's a person who comes to your house and he asks, you know, he wants to go somewhere, to reach a place, and you give him your car. You have given him the car. All that he needs is a car, you know, with the tank full of petrol. You have given him the car. And he has to drive it to reach his destination. Wherever he wants to go, he needs to take, car is given, he has to drive the car to reach the destination. So he must be definitely not drunk, and he must be very fresh, and very sleepy, and he should know the way. He is sitting, intelligent man who can drive the car. And how should the car be? The steering must be okay, the wheels must be okay, the car must be in good condition, the tank must be filled with petrol, then he can drive and he can reach the destination, which means all these spare parts which are put together intelligently, and if the car is in a good condition so that the journey will be comfortable, definitely without fail he will reach the destination, being a good driver also. Any of the spare parts is not okay, still, isn't it, journey is not possible. it knows where the car cannot move from where it is. If it moves also, it will stop somewhere on the way. And even the car is okay, the driver is not okay, then also the journey won't be possible. The destination cannot be reached. Similarly, Krishna says, first of all, you have to take initiative in terms of what? In terms of having all your instruments you are blessed with, in good condition. The body, physical health, we all take care of only physical health. Twice a month I give my blood for blood checkup to know how healthy I am, how not, which is more, which is less. We care so much for physical health, but we always neglect our other instruments. Human being is a composite of many spare parts. Understand? Many things put together is a human being. Not the physical body alone is not a human being here. What about your mind? It's not just the spare parts. The steering engine, without which the car would be useless. Similarly here also, what about your mind? What about your intellect? What about your sense organs? They all have to be looked after. They all need to be in perfect condition. Isn't it? Only then this life journey, the journey of life also, will be lived meaningfully, completely. There, which means becomes a life successful life, then the end is accomplished. There's a purpose for a human being, and he has to accomplish that purpose. Goal. Isn't it? So here, which means one has to make initiative, means Krishna says definitely one has to take care of all of them. So maintenance of physical health, we have to do the needful to maintain the physical health. Then mental health, very, very important. Mind. The mind with proper attitude, mind with proper emotions will help is a mind in good condition. Similarly, intellect, intellect also in the same way, with the clarity, what am I living this life for? That must be there. As a human being, if you don't, what do you do with this intellect you are blessed with? The clear intellect, intellectual clarity, and emotional stability. Mental strength, emotional strength implies what? Mind must be strong, one must be emotionally strong, intellectually sharp. Then they both are also okay. We have to take care of this mind and intellect. If our emotions, all the negative emotions are there, then unhealthy mind. If the clarity is not there, very sick intellect. What am I living this life for? If we do not know, even after 50 years, 60 years, what am I living this life for? Moksha being the Purusharatha is not clear. There is no purpose otherwise. Knowledge being the ultimate end is not very clear. Then value of dharma is not clear. Value of values is not very clear. Then if the end is not very clear, if artha kamas become the ultimate ends, definitely, then its life is lived like an animal. Therefore, here Krishna says it's very important for oneself to accomplish the artha kama also. One needs to have one needs to have one's instruments of enjoyment, abode of enjoyment, have them in good condition. Their health must be maintained. So he says, Uddhared Atmana Atmanam. The word Atma here means Karya Karana Sanghataha. Atma does not mean here the consciousness or self. Here the word Atma means one's own, personality. Actually, it is personality development. Personality development means what here? One has to know the physical personality we look after very well. Here, emotional personality, intellectual personality, isn't it? So here, body, mind, sense complex. Okay, say intellect also, body, mind, intellect, sense complex is what? Atma, one word. So, Uddharet Atmanam, may one uplift oneself. Means, upon upliftment of oneself implies one's own self being capable of accomplishing one's end. How can you accomplish your end? Leave alone moksha, even to accomplish artha kama, even dharma. Definitely knowledge, accomplishment of knowledge, accomplishment of moksha is dependent on your maintenance of good physical, mental, intellectual well-being. For Atmana, Atmanam Uddharet. So how can I, which means what? How to, now mind must have what? Mind, how to manage the emotions. Isn't it? I must have, which here it is called, this managing one's own mind. This is the self-management. How to manage my emotions. So one has to manage one's emotions. You cannot undo the emotions. You cannot undo your desires, anger, jealousy, hatred, etc. Definitely one has to make adequate, appropriate efforts to manage one's emotions. So managing one's emotions in terms of desire, anger, etc. is what? In fact, management of thoughts, managing one's thoughts. Managing one's thoughts implies self-management. Mind management is said to be here self-management. When I say self, I don't mean the consciousness or Atma. Here the word Atma means what? Body, mind, sense complex. The abode of enjoyment, the instruments of enjoyment, every human being blessed with, isn't it? To enjoy this life, to live this life, to understand the limitations of everything in this life, and to aspire for jnanam, to accomplish jnanam. Therefore, here, self-management is very important. Therefore, he says, the verse only says, one has to, maintain the physical, mental, intellectual well-being. That is called what? Atmana, Atma Uddharanam. Because without the healthy mind, without the clear intellect, it is not possible for one to accomplish the knowledge. Therefore, may you keep your intellect sharp. May you take care of the intellectual sharpness and emotional stability so that you will be qualified for knowledge. You can accomplish the end in terms of jnanam. But how to manage my emotions, that is not said here. How to be intellectually sharp, that's not said here. But that is why we say, living a life of karma yoga is the only way by which you can become emotionally strong, intellectually sharp. That's the only way we can be mentally sane, intellectually clear. Isn't it? So he says, therefore, that is very important. He only mentions the qualifications. He does not say how to become qualified. How to become qualified? Live a life of karma yoga. What is the qualification that is said in this verse? Atmanam uddharet. May one uplift oneself by oneself means may you have emotional stability and intellectual sharpness. Take care of your physical health also. In Tamil we say, Suvarai Vaite Sitaram Elitha Vendum, isn't it? You cannot draw something without a proper base. Similarly, to accomplish any end, you need this. Body, mind, sense complex is given to you to accomplish the end. You can use it, you can abuse it. If you abuse your mind, abuse your intellect, then it will really degrade you. It will ruin you. If you use them, then it will help you to uplift. It will uplift you. So your upliftment or degradation is dependent on how you maintain your instruments given to you. Just as how the driver uses the car. If he maintains the car in good condition, his journey can avoid the accidents. Avoid the brake. He can reach the destination. Otherwise, his journey will be always incomplete journey, or at least it can never come to an end. So here what he wants to say is, Uddhared Atmana Atmanam. Na Atmanam Avasadayet. Means, may one not, literally means degrade oneself. What is Atma Avasadanam? Isn't it? If we do not take care of our mental stability, emotional stability, if we do not take care of our management of emotions, if we do not take care of our intellectual clarity, sharpness, definitely, then what happens? It will ruin us. We can't afford to allow ourselves to be degraded, ruined, isn't it? So it's all. So your success is dependent on your success in terms of accomplishment of knowledge is dependent on your mental health, not only physical health. That is what he says, Uddhared Atmanam Atmana. Okay, how can I maintain the physical health? How can I maintain my mental health? How can I be emotionally stable, intellectually sharp? He asks, using them. If suppose the car has some repair, and taking another car is not the solution, isn't it? This car has to be repaired. Similarly here, he says, only so mind problems has to be sorted out by mind. Intellect has to be, problem has to be solved by intellect. So here, definitely, you can't work on something else. If this car is repaired, if you use other car, it won't serve the purpose. Definitely, this is not okay. This is the car given to you means, similarly, you have to take care of this mind. You have to use this mind. Therefore, one has Atmana Atmanam Uddharet. So here Krishna emphasizes, what is the emphasis here? Self-effort. One has to, self-effort means in terms of make use of one's willpower. Make use of your willpower, then, which means even living a life of dharma. Always try to avoid doing the wrong things. Do the right things, for which I need to make use of the knowledge I have. Then I should make effort to do the right, to refrain from the wrong. It is the only way I can, doing the right, avoiding wrong, will in due course of time will contribute for intellectual sharpness. And also understanding of the situations also will help me manage my emotions. For Uddhared Atmana Atmanam, Na Atmanam Avasadayet. If this body, mansions, complex is not, health is not taken care of, emotional health is not taken care of, if we allow the emotions to manage us, if we are enslaved by the emotions, if we do not have mastery over them, if then they have mastery over us, if we are enslaved by them, and they will degrade us. That's called Atma Avasadhanam. We should have mastery over our thoughts. We should have mastery over our emotions. They should not have mastery over us. That's what he means by here. Then, Atmaiva Hyatmano Bandhu Atmaiva Ripuratmanaha. Which means one's own self becomes one's enemy, one's own self becomes one's friend. When here it is like saying, if the managed body, mind, sense complex contribute for my upliftment is as good as my friend. Unmanaged emotions, unmanaged mind, isn't it? The intellect is not taken care of will lead me for my degradation, which is as good as my enemy. There is no enemy outside. If my mind is managed, my emotions are managed, my intellectual health is, health of my intellect is taken care of, definitely, they will contribute my upliftment. They are like my friends. My own personality becomes what? My friend. Then if I have my own, if I can have mastery over my mind, if my own mind is like my friend, then the whole world will be like my friend. The whole world with me, friendly with me. I can be friendly with the whole world. The whole world with me, friendly with me. If I have myself, my own mind as my friend. When can the mind be your friend? When can it be your enemy? Managed is my friend. If I am enslaved by my mind, and mind will be my enemy. Not only mind here, I'm just saying this Atma means all the body, mind, sense complex given to me for my enjoyment, for my accomplishment. Without the body, mind, sense complex, what can I accomplish? Using them only you have to accomplish. What can you accomplish without them? Therefore, they're all given to you to accomplish. But you use it, you abuse it. It is in your hands. Don't say everything is predetermined by fate. You are blessed with the good body. You are blessed with the good mind. You are blessed with the good intellect. And you are blessed with the shastram. You are blessed, study the shastram. Understand right and wrong. you are blessed with the knowledge of right and wrong. Use your buddhi, make use of your, the willpower, and face the parabdha, properly. Face the parabdha prayerfully, worshipfully. Manage the parabdha and using your buddhi, and try to eliminate the parabdha weak, which is weak, with your own, willpower, by again prayerfully. But here, what it is, therefore, if you use, maintain them, and they can contribute for your upliftment, then they are, its karyakarana sanghata is as good as your friend. If your mind is friend, you have mastery over your friend. Mind means you have conquered your mind, means you have conquered the world. Otherwise, if it unmanaged, means it will enslave you. Unmanaged mind will enslave you. If you are enslaved by your mind it will become your enemy, is as good as your enemy. Then it can turn the whole world inimical to you. Uddhared Atmana Atmanam. Here the word Atma means only body, mind, sense complex. Na Atmanam Avasadet. Never ever neglect their health. How to keep my mind healthy? How to keep my intellect healthy? How to keep my body healthy? Body health, all of us take care. Most of, no? But what we ignore is the mental well-being, emotional well-being, intellectual well-being. That's why Shastram. Shastram alone is the medicine. Isn't it? Shastra Jnanam is the medicine, which Shastra study is the medicine which will help you to maintain your inner well-being. If their well-being is taken care of, you can accomplish your end. You can be successful. Otherwise, it will result in utter failure. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.